Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Amy. We are three Melbourne girls who are currently living la vida lockdown. Please don't sue us, Ricky Martin. We have no money or talent. Yes, as Bianca said last week. We take aim at one random topic each week, as along with a bottle or three of wine, and attempt to make some sense of it. Right, ladies, what are we drinking?
Well, I'm drinking the Brown Brothers Dolcetto and Syrah again because, well, I have not left the house or even gotten dressed. Still in my jammies because why not? How about you, Bianca?
Thank you, Dave.
Same, mate. I am still in my pyjamas from last night. It's a good 24 hours now, so yeah.
Yeah.
I am drinking
the underwear and you're fine.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's right. I'm drinking my second bottle of Tread Softly because I had to buy two last week because the cute guys were obviously in the bottle store again. But yeah, so one bottle turned into two because they said, why don't you get two? Yes, people, seriously, get behind them. They're planting trees for every 12 bottles sold. It's such a great cause and it's delicious. Nice. Yeah. So, Amy, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a new one from the wine club that I recently joined. And this one is called My Other Self, Gary Knows Stuff. And it's a Pinot Grigio. And, yeah, it's more of an Italian-style Pinot Grigio. But it's actually quite nice, and I am definitely on the Pinot Grigio train, as I've said before, coming into summer, and it was quite warm today, even though it rained, so I felt like something light, and this is delivered. Delicious.
Nice.
So, Sarah, what's our topic for tonight?
Well, our topic for tonight is horror movies.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, if Gary knows stuff, he may know this.
Oh, no, so, Gary probably doesn't know anything.
What is a horror movie? A horror movie is a movie that seeks to instill fear in its audience for entertainment. They aim to invoke the audience's nightmares, fears, terrors of the unknown.
I am literally a walking horror movie then, by that definition.
You are my horror movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so because horror movies are based on fear, they can overlap into other movie categories like fantasy, supernatural fiction, and thriller genres. They tend to involve some form of evil force or presence, so that blah, 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 blah. Thank you.
You okay,
she's got words. She knows how to use them.
Oh, all right, let's try that again. So things like, but not limited to, ghosts, vampires, werewolves, demons, evil scary-ass clowns, war, torture, evil witches, monsters, zombies, psychopaths, natural
yes. Hear, hear.
Yes. Thank you.
That is definitely a horror movie right there.
Right there. Ecological or man-made disasters and serial killers. And subgenres are also included in all of this, like
You know what a horror movie is? The start of this topic.
It is. Sarah probably shouldn't have started pre-drinking. What about on here? All right, let's try that one little sentence again. And subgenres like psychological horror. Thank you. So why do people like horror movies so much? It is believed that people like being scared. Oh, sorry. I'm reading off script here. Don't read off the script.
Yeah, don't.
Don't. All right. It's believed that people like scary movies because they enjoy the adrenaline rush of being scared whilst being safe, or that it's the people and experiences that at the time, they, you know, words. This is like, oh, no. We learned this from last time I did this. I can't read my own script.
Why do you think all my segments are real short?
Yeah. All right. Or that it's the people and experiences at the time they see it that make them like it. And some also say that people like anything that helps them get their mind off their own problems. But, of course, it's different for each person. Then again, there are the people who don't like them at all. And they will have their own reasons for that. But we're not getting into that because I can't.
No, because it's spooky season.
Yeah, and I actually haven't seen anything about that, so we can't get into it.
I am asking.
Oh, but Sarah, let me ask several thousand questions. I actually don't have any questions, Your Honour.
And I also, Your Honour, don't have any questions at this time. It might change in 10 seconds.
Okay.
Object. Oh, no, wait. Where are we? What are we doing?
This is going to be a...
You can't handle the truth.
Long episode. And people can't even read what I've written.
Yeah.
Okay. A quick bit of background on horror movies. It's believed that the first horror movie was made back in 1896 by French filmmaker Georges Méliès. I'm thinking that's how you say it.
I think it's Méliès.
Méliès?
Yeah,
Méliès. Aren't the E's like an A in French? I don't know why I'm talking.
To our French listeners, I am sorry. I can't speak French.
Actually, quick side note to our French listener. Thank you so much for listening. And if you know how to say this name, please contact us. We would love to hear from you.
Let us know.
Yes.
And also for our French listeners, I'm not going to say any of these movies in their actual French names because I don't want to butcher your language. Please don't blame me for that. Okay, so yes, it was Georges Méliès and was a short film under 3 minutes. And it was called, and I'm going to use the English name, The Haunted Castle or The House of the Devil. So, sounds terrifying. So,
yeah, I'm just trying to picture these people rocking up on their horse to the local cinema. And yeah, sitting there down for the House of the Devil and literally shitting their pants for 3 minutes. That's amazing.
Yes, so the short plot line is a mischievous devil appears in a medieval castle where he harasses the visitors.
It sounds like Neon Conference.
It just sounds like I'm going to visit you, actually. I rock up to your house and then you terrorize me.
That is true. Yeah. And be a witness.
You helped. Let's not forget that.
Okay, so in 1897, it was the Americans' turn with George Albert Smith creating the X-ray Fiend it was a horror comedy. I've written the year twice, okay? Just in case I forget to do it once. There a second. Okay, so it was a horror comedy trick flick that came out a mere 2 years after X-rays were actually invented. A bit of a side note, trick flicks were invented by Georges Méliès when he was producing his. So thank you, France, for our horror movies.
Yeah.
And the birth of special effects by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Japan also released a horror film in 1898, so Resurrection of a Corpse, and Jiso, who knows how to say that, The Spook. I'm not going to say...
Jiso the Spook. Jiso the Spook.
I'm not going to say the Japanese name. Bianca, if you would like to have a crack at the Japanese name...
Oh, no.
I can't say it.
I can feel, like, even at the thought of that, I can feel my sister, who is a Japanese teacher, just getting a throbbing headache all of a sudden.
I'm going to give it to her. Chenin no sauce. I don't know why I said that with a French accent. I don't know why.
I probably would have done. Okay. And since then, they have only risen in popularity. It was in the 1930s when the classic monster movies hit the screens with Dracula, the movie based on the novel, and Frankenstein, a story of a mad scientist, and many, many more. You've got so many more of the classic monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Going mm-hmm. through 50 years mm-hmm. of this. The 1950s, the era of the creature feature. I mean, who doesn't love a good creature feature?
I love a creature feature, especially from this era. So good. Yeah.
The giant monsters, It Came from Beneath the Sea, Tarantula, the giant behemoth, and, of course, with Japanese experiences with Hiroshima and Nagasaki, it gave birth to the one and only Godzilla.
Oh, yeah.
I love Godzilla.
I love Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on to the 1960s was the beginning of sub-genres, mainly slasher films and psychological horror thriller films. The release of the British film Peeping Tom in 1960 and then cemented by Mr. Alfred Hitchcock later that year with his film Psycho.
I actually am going to be covering an Alfred Hitchcock movie, going down the classic horror side of things, and I'm going to do The Birds.
And he does the best. I love Psycho and I love The Birds. Two of my
and
favorite.
Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Freaks me out. But yes. Okay, so we're moving on to the 1970s and 80s, which brought us into the modern age, actually, of horror movies, like The Omen, Rosemary's Baby, which...
I love the book too.
Growing up. The Wicker Man, The House on the Left. So those are just some from the 70s. And from the 80s, we've got, you know, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, The Fly, The Lost Boys. I mean, can you be?
Lost Boys. Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Oh, such a good movie. So that was just to name a few. The 90s and up until now have been very much a continuation of the trend. And a lot of remakes I've noticed of the past. So what I actually haven't written here, but When a Stranger Calls, that's from the 1970s. And they've just recently made that, The Invisible Man, which I've seen the remake. Didn't mind it. I haven't watched the original in quite some time.
Yeah, I haven't watched the remake yet, but I really want to because I love that chick.
They are some absolutely amazing movies. And, yeah, so they're remaking them with more effects, more special features, just to, you know, bring them back into light because these are some of the amazing horror films. But going back into the 80s actually saw a jump in B-grade horror films that have always had kind of a mixed reaction with audiences. But me, and I know Bianca, for one, love them and urge everyone who listens to this to go look up the Asylum films.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they have some of the best B-grade movies out there.
Like, I love how
this is not endorsed by Amy.
Yes. We don't
I love how optimistic. You're just like, these B-grade movies. Sorry, people, they are Z grade. Like, they are so bad.
So you Sharknadoes.
Go watch them. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so Sharknado and Mega Piranha, the movie I'm actually going to talk about tonight, just shortly, because I've been talking too much. Yeah, seriously, look it up.
Yeah.
So, on to my movie, Mega Piranha. Oh. I tell you, I had no idea what movie I was going to do. And then I'm watching the Babadook and I'm like, Mega Piranha. I'm going to do that. Mind you, Babadook actually kind of creeped me out a bit.
Yeah, that creeps my shit out. The kid. I just want to. All I want the whole time is the Babadook to eat the kid. The whole time. Oh. Just kill the kid. Just kill the kid. Just. I have never rooted for the killer more than the Babadook.
The child, I think he needed to, you know, not eat ice cream in the middle of the night because his behavior would have caused me to give him a swift smack across the back of the head, like, shut the hell up.
Yeah, no, right? Yeah. Oh, my God. So unruly.
So disobedient. Okay, back on tangent. So, Mega Piranha is one of the Asylum films, released in 2010. And is an amazing 2.4 out of 10 on IMDb. You cannot get any better.
This sounds amazing. This sounds like something I definitely need to watch.
100% amazing.
Kara and I watched it together.
Yeah, it was one of the first films that we watched in this kind of genre of, you know, bad horror movies, which... so good. Much love. Such appreciation. Okay, so it's about genetically mutated piranha that have grown to unholy sizes and are now making their way up to Florida from the Amazon. Now, I was a little bit, hang on, how are they doing that? So I Googled the Amazon and the river maps. So they have to leave the Amazon, and then make their way to the coast through all the other little countries of South America, and then enter the sea. Now, piranha, I'm pretty sure, are freshwater animals, or fish.
Yeah, they are.
But, yeah, they explain how they've mutated, basically, and they can survive in salt water.
Yeah.
So they'll leave, enter the ocean, and make their way up. Past the Dominican Republic, past Cuba, all the way to Florida. They assert their Dominicans. Just saying. They are searching at their Dominicans.
Oh, God.
So it is up to a small team of scientists and some guy from the special forces to stop them and save everyone. So the cast. It does include some recognizable names, like 80s pop star Tiffany. If you're all wondering who Tiffany is, I think we're alone now.
Anyone around?
Love that song.
Oh, I love that tune.
Yes! She's in it. And the Brady Bunch's eldest son, Barry Williams, or as I like to call him, Greg Brady.
Yeah, it's Greg Brady. His name is not Barry Williams. It's Greg Brady.
It's Greg Brady. So special effects in this movie are amazing. If this movie was made in the 60s, oh, my God, this movie would have been so ahead of its time. It is an amazing movie. So now add the somewhat over-the-top acting, especially from Tiffany's hands.
Oh, yeah.
So much hand talking. Oh, my God. And I found myself as I was watching it, in fact, today. I was watching it today because I do my research 5 minutes before recording, of course. I was, in fact, talking along with her. And my hand movements even got, and then I'm doing piranhas eating things with my hands. But, you know. She does a lot of
her hands. We're doing that when we're watching the movie, just sitting there and suddenly moving our hands while we talk.
So much hand talking. So not only is this a movie that will scare your young children, and it is suitable for young children, but one that will entertain an adult that loves a good laugh. But don't just take it from me. Please see it for yourself. And when you do, or if you have already seen it, please jump onto our Facebook page or our Twitter and let me know your thoughts on Mega Piranha. Seriously.
Or drop us a line at FridayNightLineFight@gmail.com.
Yep. That was an amazing movie. So.
Oh, absolutely.
See? And Amy will never know because she refuses to watch the amazingness of this movie.
Again, this is not endorsed by Amy.
See? Closed-minded.
Oh, yeah. But for our listeners, like, if you want a good crossover from Sharknado, like, if you're a massive fan of the Asylum Films franchise of that,
Sharknado.
Watch Lavalantula.
Lavalantula. Oh,
that was great. And then they meet up in the street, and he's like, no, I can't stop. I've got a tornado. You and I were just like, holy shit.
Oh, my God. And I really, really hoped he would be in Sharknado and that kind of scene thing.
Yeah, it was it would have been, because it was in between the second and the third.
Was it the second? I thought it was the third and the fourth.
I thought it was the second and the third Lavalantula came in.
I think we should watch them all again.
I think we should. Yeah. Quite clearly, we're due for a rewatch. Absolutely.
And if anyone wants to know why I have a drinking problem, you just heard why.
That's not
this my is what I do it. Yeah.
That is a whole different story. So, Bianca, what's your film for tonight?
Well, I actually have stayed completely on brand for me this week. I'm going to be discussing a zombie movie because I love all things zombie and actually have participated in the Melbourne Zombie Shuffle several times. I will put pictures of me dressed up as a zombie in the blog, and which is fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com. And anyway, I think I like zombie films the best because I can see them, I can fight them, and I can survive them. No, that's right. It's not like, originally I was thinking maybe I should do a ghost film. I had, oh God, there was way too many choices for this freaking subject. Oh my God. I was going to do Lights Out, which is sort of a ghost theme, and because it's got the whole dark prospect, and I'm afraid of the dark. So that sort of plays into my phobias really well. But to be honest, my favorite is zombies. When a good zombie movie comes out, I actually buy it on Blu-ray and DVD. So, I'm actually a massive fan of a zombie film. So, this is what I'm doing. So I actually picked one to really, really delve into, which is Wormwood, Road of the Dead. This is an Australian-made film, and it's set in outback Victoria and northern suburbs of Melbourne and in Mount Bullabulla. They don't quite get to Bullabulla, but Mount Bullabulla is in the Great Dividing Range. It makes it up part of that. It's one of those mountains.
Isn't it just Mount Bulla? I'm sorry. Am I being ignorant about my own state?
I'm pretty sure it's B-U-L-L-E-R.
No, so that's Mount Bulla. So, no, Mount Bullabulla, which is B-U-L-L-A, is a part of those mountains. The closest town is Thredbo
in
New South Wales. So it's like right on the border.
It's further up from Mount Bulla.
Where we go
is totally different.
One thing I want to mention is that Wikipedia actually is incorrect by saying that it was set in Bulla. Bulla is northwest of Melbourne and is between Craigieburn and Taylor's Lakes. Mount Bullabulla, which, so I'm actually thinking of correcting the Wikipedia article, but anyway.
You just got owned by Friday Night Wine Part 5 Wikipedia. Congratulations.
Yeah. So, yes, if you don't want any spoilers, please skip to Amy's segment now because I am breaking the movie down and telling you all about it.
Yay. Love it.
God, sorry about it.
I'm terrified of zombie movies, so I won't watch it.
So, okay, the main protagonists are Barry, and for those playing at home, he played AJ in the Aussie TV show All Saints, and then you got his sister Brooke. So Barry lives in the northern suburbs of Melbourne with his wife Annie and his daughter Megane. It's got two N's in it, mate. So Barry's sister Brooke, she lives near Bullabulla. So we can assume it's Thredbo. They haven't actually pinpointed the towns in the movie. So judging by what I see and how far they traveled, this is where they are. So I assume she's outside of Thredbo. She is a photographer. Unknown if she does it for a living or a side hustle. They don't break into that. It's fine. Doesn't make me mildly go insane at all. I love it when things aren't explained to me. Let's just put this character in and never speak about them. This is why I watch Zed Grey films, people.
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy? Someone's been following us for like 2 hours now. Oh, we don't know. Yeah. And then we show him again at the end of the film. We still don't know.
We still don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just a dude on the hill with a horse. We don't know.
And what happened to the Knights Templar?
Anyway. So Brooke is attacked in a studio by her model and her assistant who have suddenly become zombies. Out of nowhere, they just fucking turn. So immediately at the start of the film, you don't know what's happened. All of a sudden, they're zombies. So you're like, what the fuck? Please, please give me more information. So she takes these girls out. She calls her brother, warns him to get the fuck out of the city. So his brother, Annie, and I think it's Megan. Yeah. Megan. I'm going to call him Megan. They put on gas masks. They fight their way to their car. Megan and Annie remove their gas masks and they become infected. And Barry is forced to kill them with a nail gun. Ooh. And then really sad, he runs out of nails before he can kill himself.
Oh, that's shit.
Yeah, as this happens, this guy, Chalker turns up. And those of you who will watch Wormwood, you will recognize, and you're from Australia, you'll recognize him from Home and Away as Dave Rogers.
No idea.
No.
He was in there for a year, so like a whole season.
Yep.
I have no idea.
But I wasn't watching it. I think it was 2015 to 16. I definitely wasn't watching it. Yeah. I definitely wasn't watching Home and Away. I'm old school Home and Away. So anyway.
Yeah, same.
He is another survivor and a stoner. He finds Barry and knocks him unconscious when Barry attempts to kill himself with Chalker's gun. Barry asks Chalker to take him to Brooke's studio, like once he's conscious again, but he's completely unaware that a paramilitary group has taken her captive in the back of a truck that serves as a mobile lab for a mad scientist named Doc. So now we have two defined storylines taking place simultaneously. So Doc experiments on the zombies and other people, including Brooke, by taking the zombie blood and injecting it into the non-infected, so the clean person, I suppose, their spinal cord, and then testing their blood to see how much the infection they can handle. It's kind of really fucking creepy, to be honest. There's just like the inside of this. So it's like a semi-trailer truck, whatever you call it. I don't know. A big wheeler, whatever. It's a big like shipping container. And he's in there and it's just blood everywhere. And it's just gross and dirty. And he's in this yellow hazmat type suit. Kind of reminds me, I don't know. Was it Monsters, Inc.? It's 23... Was it 2319? And they come in those yellow suits? That's what he looks like.
Oh, mate.
That is what he looks like. And he puts on music and he's like, he's doing this dance. And oh, God, it's so funny. And then he has this really fucking funny line. So he's got three people chained to a wall. And one of the male's alarm just go off. And Doc grabs this electric screwdriver looking thing that's got like a straw on the tip of it instead of, you know, drill, and he shoves that up this guy's nose and it sort of makes this whirring sound and sort of sucks a bit of his brain out, and Brooke is there freaking the fuck out, as you would, and her beeper goes off, so he goes over to her really fucking slowly and is really menacing and it's really silent and he's just getting closer and he gets the gun and he holds it right up to her nose and he just goes, nah, just fucking with you. And it was so Australian, it just kills me, and I'm just like, oh, you got me. As an Australian, it's just like, oh, look at you go. Yeah, you got me.
You got me, mate.
Yeah. So While all that's going on, Chalker and Barry are on the road smoking weed and mowing down zombies. Chalker's truck stops working out of nowhere, just full stops. So they try to get the truck working, can't. They think, fuck it, we'll continue on foot through the bush. Benny, another survivor, accidentally, like, kills Chalker thinking he's a zombie following Barry. So now Barry teams up with Benny and they trudge through the bush and they come across this old shed. So in the shed is Frank, and I tried to catch his name when I rewatched the movie today, and I think it's Len. I want to think it's Len, but yeah.
Len out in the bush. Frank, Benny.
So Frank and Len are holed up in this garage, and they've got a zombie in the freezer, which they call Neville. He's like, so when Frank and Len let Benny and Barry in, they close it up, and they're just like, hey, do you want a beer? And they open up like this portable freezer, and they all look in there. Who is that? Oh, that's Neville. And they just all grab beers from around him. And I just, oh, my God, it cracks me up every time. Frank explains to Benny and Barry that all flammable liquids have become completely useless. So this is a side effect of whatever's made people turn into zombies.
Right.
So the group accidentally discover that zombie breath and blood are flammable. And they devise a zombie-powered engine. This is a great scene, an absolutely pinnacle scene in the movie where they armor up. So they're like, they got Neville out the freezer, obviously. They hooked him up to the generator so they could use all their acetylene torches and stuff. So they've just got all these tubes in Neville. And, and they're just building all these things. And they're like, armor up. Frank comes out looking like Ned Kelly. He's got this full head thing on. It is brilliant.
Oh, mate, I'm just picturing Reckless Kelly right now. He's got some form of garbage can on his freaking head.
Oh, God.
Or otherwise known as any time we've left the house. Yeah.
So during their attempt to get, because they obviously they need a vehicle, they've worked out the zombies can power things, so like, let's make a zombie-powered vehicle. So the Hilux is outside. Obviously Wikipedia was written by a American because the truck, look at it, it's a fucking Hilux.
It's a Hilux. It's a Hilux.
Yeah, a truck. Ease up. So they get the Hilux inside, but poor Len, he then becomes affected, and he's used as fuel from that point. He's hooked up to the truck.
He's helping.
So while they've got the truck inside and they're putting all the metal bars up around it for a big cage for the zombies and stuff, so Frank reveals to Benny that he has a gas-powered harpoon. Frank says he built it for a mate in Perth for shark hunting. And Benny asks, is that thing legal? Frank goes, don't be stupid. it's so quintessentially Australian that I just love it. Don't be stupid. Like, what fucking question is that? Is it legal? And he goes, get out of the way. And he shoots it and it just hits a poster on the wall, and Penny's just like, oh, fucking bullseye. Oh, I love it. Yes, then we got Barry, Benny, and Frank. They open the Hilux and they head out, and then Benny's going to take a piss, so they stop, and then they go to get back in the car, and they discover, as the sun's going down, that the zombies stop breathing the flammable gas at night, which enables the zombies to use it for themselves so they're faster. So they are stuck. Yeah. So they're stuck in the truck overnight. And then Frank says he believes that the zombies resulted from a meteor shower. So this is told in the Bible. The star called Wormwood has fallen, bringing a disease that kills a fuckload of people, in his words. And so, yes, he believes it's a biblical thing. That night, things get a bit fucking shitty for the crew. And Frank gets bitten and he asks Barry to shoot him. And, yeah, Barry does. So the day after that, Barry and Benny encounter the paramilitaries that captured Brooke. So now we've gone all full circle and we're coming back in, which is great.
Yeah.
The paramilitaries reveal that those with an A negative blood type are not affected by the disease. I'm A positive, so I'm completely fucked. Like, if this
I
was real.
I think I'm O. I don't know, though.
You're like, fucked as well, then.
Yeah, Sarah's like AB negative. She's like real fucking rare, so she might be okay.
No, it was only people with A negative.
So she, yeah.
We're
so
all fucked.
Half, you know, half and half. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
So these paramilitaries, they offer to lead Barry and Benny to Brooke, who they claim is in custody nearby. She is not.
That's a trap.
That was
Don't
a trap.
Go into but the thing is,
the whole time Barry, because Benny's like, oh, these guys seem all right. And Barry's like, no. No. Like, just look at him like, you fucking idiot. No. Oh, my God. So
how did you live so long before you met me, okay?
Yeah. Come on. Oh, yeah, I know, right? Like, he's telling his story. It's one part. This is, like, right at the start of the movie. It's the start of the movie is the middle of the movie, and then they go back. So, and they finally catch up to where they were right at the start. You know, it's one of those.
Oh, yeah, I'm already confused. Yeah, I'm glad you went from, like, the start in, like, point of time.
Yes.
Because I would have no idea what was going on.
So right at the beginning of the film, Benny's talking about how he's walking through the bush and there's zombies just following me because I was just walking and walking for kilometres and kilometres and he just kept following. So I turned around and I blew his kneecap out. And then he's just started crawling at me. And so I thought I should shoot him in the head. I just couldn't. I just walked off. And, yeah, it's like, yeah, okay. I see how you survived. You just kept walking and this thing was just following you. Cool. Idiot. Oh, my God. Like, how many hours before you go, I have a gun, I might just shoot it.
So, ask me, mate. I'm the one that goes outside to investigate a strange noise, okay? If you're talking about people who are going to die first in a horror movie, it's me. It's definitely me.
It's definitely Amy. I'm killing her first.
Yeah.
Oh, but then, yeah, straight after that story, freaking Barry's a Debbie Downer. It's like, I shot my wife and daughter with a nail gun. Sorry, can't make a story. Fucking, you could have.
Could have.
You know what? Classic can't make the best of a fucking situation, clearly.
Yeah, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, we've got Barry and Benny with the paramilitaries. And Brooke, meanwhile, because of all the zombie blood Doc had injected into her, she learns she can now telepathically control zombies. I actually really like this twist. It's not something that's been used in other zombie movies, and for that reason I like it. Like, nobody's gone. Yeah.
They're dead.
Nobody's really gone.
There's nothing functioning there. You can't control anything. This is magic.
No, but she has zombie blood in her.
Zombie magic.
Yeah. So this is science magic.
Okay. Yeah. It's magic. Yep. But okay. Yep. Go. Keep going.
With the help of several zombies in the back of the truck, she kills Doc and escapes. And she joins Barry and Benny. So there's a bit of a chase and Barry's truck stalls after the soldiers accidentally killed the zombie powering it. So while taking a pit stop for Brooke to fetch them a new zombie, because her telepathy and stuff, Benny is shot in the stomach.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Benny. They later pull over to take care of Benny. So they get him in. They get him into the truck. They've got a zombie in the back to power the truck, and they manage to speed off again. So they pull over to take care of Benny, and the soldiers catch up again. And they, the soldiers obviously subdue them because obviously Brooke's really sick because of all the zombie blood. And so she's got her own thing going on. And, Barry's like, I can't fight three people in military gear. Like, this is ridiculous. But he tries. He does his best. And, poor Benny's got his intestines hanging out of his body. So,
That's a downer.
Yeah. The soldiers, once they've tied Barry up, make the fatal mistake of every villain in every good movie of explaining their plans. So they plan to decapitate Brooke and take her back to the head of their, to their commanding officer. And Barry.
Why? Okay, I wasn't going to interrupt, and I've done really well not asking questions.
Oh no,
so
interrupt
far,
away.
But I'm gonna jump in. Okay, so if you know that she can control the zombies, why wouldn't you just take her back in full form and put a gun to her head and say, okay, well you're the cure, you can control them, so we're just going to put a gun to your head, or we're going to put a gun to your brother's head and go, okay, well you're going to tell them to do what we want.
No, the paramilitaries don't know. Only Barry and Benny know.
So why are they chasing her? Like, why do they care? Like, there's been this massive fucking infection of zombies and they're testing shit out on her. They don't know what her powers are. Why do they even care? She escaped.
Because they're neo-Nazi paramilitary. They're not real military. They're paramilitary. Has decided that he now rules, and so he wants tests done on people. Well, she was one of the test people, so
I'm going to cycle back to our whole thing on aliens. So for those who listen in, we did a whole episode on aliens, and we talked about some conspiracies and things like that. And we talked about a lot of people who've claimed that they have encountered aliens. And so we sort of dissected a little bit of their experiences and things like that. Mm. A lot of the time we were sort of saying, well, that might not have been that situation, actually might have been something else. And in the end, most people don't believe them. So she just had to say the paramilitary people, I don't know, dudes with guns in uniforms. I fucking don't know. What would it matter? No one's going to believe her anyway. I don't know. Anyway, keep going. I'm just getting derailed. Yeah.
You're getting stuck on that. There's a plot line. It's okay.
I know. I know. Stupid me. I was stuck on the fact that there was a plot line. Damn it. Idiots.
This is an Australian movie, Amy.
No, I mean, you've got Benny. Don't even go there.
No, actually, I will have to stop you because Australians led cinema for a very long time.
Yes.
Oh my God, there are so many good Australian movies.
You've got your three main characters all starting with a B. I'm sorry.
I know. Why did they do that to me?
All Marvel characters have the same letter in their first name and in their last name.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony Stark doesn't.
No, Tony Stark is different. He's like an anomaly, but all the other ones, go through a list. There's a whole thing on Google about it. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yeah. Back to Wormwood. So, the soldiers revealed their plans to decapitate Brooke and take her back to the commanding officer. And Barry plans to kill them all in an explosion. But before he can even attempt to do that while he's handcuffed to the car, Benny sacrifices himself.
MacGyver.
Yeah. to turn into a zombie so Brooke can control him to overpower the soldiers. So he does that. He dies and Brooke controls him and he kills two out of three of the soldiers. But the captain, so one of the soldiers simply called the captain, he kills him. If you look it up on IMDb for the character, it's literally called the captain.
Bench his name, the captain.
And well, I'm pretty sure that guy's been in a bunch of things too. Like I know when I looked up Frank, he's been in Blue Heelers, All Saints, Country Practice. Like,
literally, if you're an Australian who've watched the Australian drama series, you're going to go, that guy. Yes. That guy.
Yes, which is exactly what I was doing. Because, like, when I saw Chalker, I'm like, I know I've seen you before.
But if you're like me that hasn't seen them, you're going to be like, I have no idea who that is. Oh, my God. I'd be
surprised if your mum didn't watch A Country Practice like my mum did.
Oh, she may have, but I never watched it.
Oh, God, I have.
Lived off Country Practice. I've seen all of the dramas except for maybe All Saints. So I wasn't into All Saints at all.
Blue Heelers, Country Practice, all of those Australian ones. We didn't do
Blue Heelers as an Australian. I am sorry.
Yeah.
No, we watched them all. Anyway, keep going there, Kel. We're getting sidetracked.
Australian film and TV. Okay, so then the captain. Yeah, so the captain kills Benny and shoots Brooke in the chest. Barry challenges him to a fist fight. He didn't take off a glove and slap him, okay.
It wasn't a duel.
It was fisticuffs. I'm trying to remember where I'm up to again. I really should have chunked out this paragraph like I did everything else. Barry challenges him to a fist fight, but ends up shot. Yes. Okay, so he ends up shot. When the captain retrieves his pistol, after shooting a zombie, the captain's face is splattered with zombie blood, and Barry, remembering that it's flammable, he ignites his head, and before Barry can actually shoot him, Brooke rises from her death fucking chest shot and commands a horde of zombies to eat the captain alive.
Ooh,
yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, she just resurrects her fucking self. And Barry and Brooke are back on the road. They come across the lab truck again. They ask the soldiers what they have in the back of a truck, above the truck. When they refuse to answer, Brooke commands a new group of zombies to attack and tear them apart. And that is it. So, leaves it open for the sequel, which was apparently going to happen. And then they decided to... No, they didn't. They went with a TV show instead, which, from everything I found, it was supposed to be released in 2017. We're now in 2020, so I'm still waiting. So, yes, for me, Wormwood is the perfect mixture of horror and comedy, which I love.
And you know what? After listening to you, actually, I think I may even look this up and watch it.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing.
It's pretty good. I mean, I hate zombie films,
but I think I might watch it.
It is a bit gory. Zombie films... in their nature, have gore. If you don't have the stomach for it, I can't help it. I don't do gore at all.
Like, I don't do gore. I'll talk about that in my segment. Yeah. But I really loved the film Zombieland with Woody Harrelson, and it is gory. There are parts where I don't watch.
Yeah.
It's not any more gory than that.
It's not any more gory than that.
I don't mind gore.
Yeah,
I don't mind it. And I've watched Zombie Me. I've seen Zombieland, and I was even thinking about watching number two. And I've seen Train to Busan, and I really enjoyed that. It's the whole fact that they're undead, and when they've got ones that can run fast, that freaks my shit out because I'm unfit. I can't fight an army of the undead and be as unfit as I am. I'm fucking
That's
screwed.
One of the rules of that Zombieland. What is it? Rule one, cardio.
Yeah.
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 Sorry, I don't do cardio. I do wine and cheese, probably.
Yeah, I just love all the zombie films. Like, you've got, Zombieland, which is obviously very, very American. And then you've got Wormwood, which is Australian, which is nice.
If they're slow, I think I'll be fine.
But and then not.
Terrifying.
And you've got like 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later, which is an English zombie film. And then you got World War Z, which is one of my favorites. Like, these are obviously all my favorites. Yeah, World War Z is showing the zombie apocalypse in the world scale, which is awesome because it actually brings us all together rather than having all these segregated, oh, the zombies happened in this country or in this country.
Yeah, we're Australia. Please, if you have zombies in your country, keep them. We don't want them.
But give us a heads up if they can swim.
Unless it's some sort of biblical meteor and we can't fucking avoid it because Mercury's in retrograde again. I tell you. But, yeah, I love a horror comedy. It's probably why Scream's one of my favorites, which is another one I was thinking of doing.
Yes.
Oh, God, that makes me laugh. And 13 Ghosts. Fuck, I laugh so much watching 13 Ghosts.
When 13 Ghosts get the crap out of me.
When Matthew Lillard.
I love 13 Ghosts.
Oh, God.
Great movie. Like, all right, great movie. Love it, but I was scared.
It scared the first time I watched 13 Ghosts, scared the crap out of me. Absolutely.
So scared.
But after that, once I knew what was going to happen and I didn't have the anxiety of what's coming up, it was funny. Like,
they're going to go down to the basement. With the balls.
When they're going to go down to the basement, and he's just standing there like, didn't tell you it was a petting zoo down there. Tells me. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, yes, I think I just like bad jokes. Because I do the same. My life is a dumpster fire, which is often. So it's how I deal. I don't need therapy. I have bad jokes,
inappropriate
my girls, humor. And wine. And now I have a podcast.
And a podcast, yeah.
Don't forget cheese. You also have cheese.
Oh, I have cheese.
You're lactose intolerant.
Kill her.
Well,
yeah, cheese will kill her.
You've got cheese.
Is there a single lactose intolerant person that doesn't eat cheese? All of us will seriously look at milk and go, oh, it's probably too much. I might just have a water. But when it comes to cheese, I'll fucking eat the whole wheel. Like, no restraint. I can have ice cream. A liter of ice cream can last me over a month, maybe more. Oh, no, cheese. Cheese is gone. It does not last in my house.
All right, so I'm going to crack on to my section. A quick one. I'm actually going to go completely off script because I wanted to do a bit of a shout out to the movie, the horror movies of the 90s and the early 2000s. So when we were sort of young teenagers, early 20s, there was a lot of horror movies, and this was before actually went into a really dark period because I don't do gore. I like horror movies, but I do not do gore. I just think that it's unnecessary and it's not worth it. So as a teenager and someone in my young, like in the early 20s, I really, really loved things like Halloween. I loved Scream. I loved Urban Legend. I loved The Ring.
I know what you did last summer. I still know what you did last summer. Number two was equally as good as the first one, which never happens. Never happens.
And this is the thing, is that like what you have to understand about the three of us is we are basic 90s bitches people. Basic 90s bitches. So
and maybe a bit older. I feel like I was born in the wrong era, maybe 60s, maybe 50s for me. Just putting it out there. Basic 50s, 60s bitch.
We didn't cover off on this, and I think I think the three of us like subconsciously avoided this these particular horror movies because I think this topic was very, very wide for us. And looking into it, I think we all realize that, hey, we actually like a lot of these movies, even though when you say, do you like horror movies? Oh, yeah, kind of do. Yeah, and then when you look into them, you're just like, I love that film. I love that film too. Oh, my God, I love all these films. So I think
it's a very hard topic for all
What we might do as a bit of a suggestion is that I think we should probably cycle back and do some horror movies from our day, so from our heyday, so from the 90s and the early 2000s, because there was just so many really good flicks to cover and we didn't really get like into that. So in saying that, I'm actually not going to do a 90s or a early 2000s horror movie. I'm actually going to do a classic horror movie, and I'm going to do Alfred Hitchcock's 1963 movie titled The Birds, which was based on a 1952 book of the same name by Daphne du Maurier.
Amazing.
Again, our French listeners, please correct me. Send us an email, fridaynightwineflight@gmail.com.
Daphne du Maurier. I'm pretty sure that would be it, but please correct me.
That is an amazing name, just putting it out there.
I know, right? And she
that
was,
way.
Yeah. When I did a little bit more research on her, found out she's not one of the Scooby gang, so then I lost interest. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I thought I might have been the original Daphne. Turns out, no. So I lost interest and kept moving. Okay. So I really love this movie, and my parents, also being Hitchcock fans themselves, figured that this was probably more of a friendly film And it was more of a way to introduce their 10-year-old into the world of Alfred Hitchcock than, you know, other movies such as like Psycho, Dial M for Murder, all those sorts of ones. So in their defense, this was probably more suitable for a 10-year-old. Anyway, this may explain my, like, yeah, just unrational fear of birds and anything like that. Yeah, so this probably scarred me for life. But anyway, whatever.
Actually, yes. Yes, it does, because I remember the first time she watched it. It was not long after we first met.
You were there.
And you were there.
My mum let us watch it in the middle of the day in the lounge room on school holidays because she thought this would be okay. I'm sure you did. No, it might have been earlier.
Because it was still, school was still on because you rocked up one day and we were feeding the birds like we usually do. And then you just freaked out on me and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then you explained it and then I went and watched the movie. And I went, and then it became
a cult classic at all our sleepover parties. We would watch this movie and it would freak our shit out for fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm probably the only one that didn't get freaked out. Like, because the first time I watched it, I was 19. So I was home alone.
Yeah.
Well, home alone. I say that in quotation marks. I mean, like, home my daughter was baby. One. Yeah. I had a 1 year old. The baby was in bed. So I watched it and I can't, oh God, there was this scene and it would just, I think she was in the attic and it went really super quiet.
Yeah. Oh, it's fucked.
My fucking budgie just decided at that moment at nighttime when he's normally sleeping, he just goes, ah! And I'm like, oh, you fucking didn't. Oh, you did not. I will end you.
Oh, no, you fucking didn't.
Literally, that bird trolled you so bad.
It did. I took off his cover and I just looked at him and I'm like, you fucking right. Oh, my God.
I have a G. Anyway, right, I'm going back into my story.
Yes, go back into your story.
Way too sidetracked. Okay,
that's fine.
So basically the story goes like this. So the lead in this movie, her name is Melanie Davis, and she's played by Tippi Hedren. So she's Melanie Griffith's mother. And for those people who are younger than us and don't know who Melanie Griffith is, it's Dakota, what's her name, who's in 50 Shades of Grey. It's Melanie Griffith is her mother. So Tippi Hedren is actually her grandmother.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But then again, I haven't seen those movies either.
No, well, the force is strong in that family. Yeah. So she was wandering through a pet store and she was recognized by a man whose name was Mitch and he wanted to buy some lovebirds for his sister's 11th birthday. Now, Melanie was recognized by the man because of a scandal that was in the paper. So the man pretends to mistake her for a shopkeeper because he wants an excuse to speak to her. Now, keep in mind, this is 1963, okay? People used to speak to each other. Yeah, they actually used to go up and have a conversation
with
the person that they saw and were interested in. Yeah.
No, sorry, I know. That doesn't happen.
That's probably why it was so much easier to date back then.
Right?
Date? How do you do that?
Apart from the psychotic birds that then were the rest of this movie. Anyway, I'll keep going. So he wanders on up, pretends that she's this shopkeeper, and of course she plays along a little bit, thinking, hey, it's a bit of all right. I'll play. Yeah, all right. I'll give it a go.
I've done that. Yeah. We've all been there.
I'm sorry, I've never done that. I'm pure as the driven snow.
Oh, fuck off.
You have literally not seen a man saunter your way thinking, right, I'm going to give this chick a crack. And you think, mate, I'm on to you. You think you're giving me a crack? I saw you first, motherfucker. Yeah, anyway.
I haven't dated in over 14 years, so no. I don't remember anything like that.
Anyway, so they get into a bit of an argument because it sort of comes out that Mitch recognises her from the papers. And so they get into a bit of an argument and Mitch leaves without the birds. Melanie decides to actually buy the birds and take them to Mitch's apartment, mainly because she thinks he's a bit hot. She thinks, I'll give this another crack.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets to the apartment, finds that he's left for his family home in Bodega Bay. So Melanie decides that she's going to drive from San Francisco down to Bodega Bay to give them to Mitch.
What happens after this is pure classic horror movie. It starts off with some really strange occurrences, which slowly builds up into all-out fucking chaos. And with this loose plot line of romance movie going on in the background and all that other stuff. So, yeah, it's classic horror movie. The birds go absolutely mental and kill people in some spectacular fashion and terrorize the town. This movie is amazing. Yeah, they're just going batshit for no reason. Yeah. In the end, so it like fast forward through this, watch this movie, people. Do watch it. If you like horror films and you profess that you like horror films, you can't say that you like horror films without going back to the classics. Watch this film.
Even if you don't like them, this is a good starting point.
Oh yeah, this is a good
watching
one.
Watching them. Great starting point, people.
That's great. So in the end, Melanie, Mitch's sister, and Mitch's mother, who was Jessica Tandy. I don't know if you guys remember Jessica Tandy.
Yeah.
She's a very famous actress. Yeah. So she plays the mother. They were able to make a hasty getaway, taking lovebirds with them, who are the only birds in the whole movie that don't go batshit crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, at the end scene, as they in the middle of the night, they've all gone crazy. It's that scene that Bianca just described before, and they're in the attic, and it's all just fucking balls out crazy. Anyway, so it goes quiet, in the early hours of the morning. So they decide to creep over to the car and make a hasty getaway. Mitch's sister runs back and gets the lovebirds because the lovebirds are the only ones to have gone crazy. So she figures she's going to save them. So they jump in the car and they drive off. Cue intriguing music. Cue screaming at the TV. It's those birds that are the cause, people. What is them?
But was it?
But was it really those birds?
Was it? And that is the pure genius of Alfred Hitchcock. Was it? Was it?
But was it?
Oh.
We don't know. And this is the thing about, horror movies in the 60s is that the only thing that leads you to this is it's not the characters. They don't sit there with this stupid fucking, the dumb bimbo in the front going, hey, so just wondering, maybe it's like the birds. Like other horror movies go down this line and all of a sudden they go, oh, maybe it was the birds. No, it's just pure classic freaking Hitchcock and it's just, all of a sudden they're driving along and they're out of there and everybody's disheveled and everybody's freaking out. And then finally they've escaped and it's all peaceful. And then it's just like this dun, dun, dun. And then you look at the birds. So it's all the music, it's all the things that are happening behind the scene. And you look at the birds and you go, oh, I didn't think of that. Oh, God damn it. They've just taken the whole reason why these things went insane. It's the lovebirds. Yeah. Yeah. So
you know what my favorite scene from that movie was? Is when she's at the school and then she looks out the window and there's a crow on the play equipment. And then she turns back to the kids, talks to them, goes back out, looks out the window, and then there's 20 more birds out there and you're like, oh my God, what the hell?
Yeah.
That is my favorite scene. It's just because, she's, just a rando bird, and then all of a sudden 50 fucking rando birds, and you're like, oh, fuck. Love that scene.
So I really love this movie as a kid, and I love it as an adult. And say what you want about the controversy around Alfred Hitchcock, I'm not going to get into it, but this will always be a classic horror movie for me. The plot is really simple. It's suspenseful and exciting, giving you that, oh, my God, is this actually happening feeling. And in the end, it leaves you wondering, is this the end?
Yeah.
Perfect movie for me.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
I actually watched this movie with my daughter. She's 14. I love watching horror movies with my daughter. She's a horror movie buff more than I am.
My daughter's the same. Absolutely into horror movies. She watched Jaws when she was 3.
Same. I was obsessed with Jaws as a child. I was obsessed with Jaws. I loved it.
And then my Ghostbusters.
My younger cousins were all obsessed with Jaws, and that was not because of me. I actually think children are fascinated by animals.
Yeah.
So because it's something that's, it's not scary in the sense of like, it's not some boogeyman or something like that. No, it's like the nature and it's attacking.
Actually, my daughter loves the boogeyman. she loves Insidious, you know, wow, what's the other one? The Conjuring.
Yeah.
The Babadook.
Yeah.
The Babadook is the only one she has turned around to me and said, I was uncomfortable watching that. That's the only horror. She's seen Insidious, all the Insidious.
Oh, my God.
The Conjuring.
Remember you and I watched Insidious and we had the blanket and we had it all the way up. We're both sitting on the couch. We're snuggled up to each other like, oh,
I'm sitting there watching it with her and going, oh, my God, I can't. So suspenseful. Don't do it. And she's like, are you serious? This is nothing.
I haven't watched the fourth Insidious yet, which is on Netflix.
I think I've watched. Oh, intense.
And Paranormal Activity. Oh my God, I cannot deal with Paranormal Activity.
I watched the first one and then that's it.
Oh no, I've watched them all because I like the idea of pretending that they're real.
I actually was really excited because my daughter and I were going through movies that were in the Halloween category on Disney Plus Jay, and I found a movie from my childhood that I'd completely forgotten about. It's called Mr. Boogity. Has anybody else seen it?
No.
I think I have, but I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Yeah, so it's on Disney Plus, and then there's The Bride of Boogity. So I'm actually going to go back. And he was like this big, scary dude. He actually looked like he had literal boogers on his face. And he used to go, boogity, boogity, boo.
Well, that doesn't
know what you're talking about.
it's from the 80s. Look it up. Yeah.
No.
All right. Let's round this episode out.
Yes.
So shout outs. We would like to give a shout out to our listeners who have found out their way to our humble podcast. Woo-hoo. And we would like to say a very special merci beaucoup to our listeners in France. A very special thank y'all. That's not very San Francisco, but yes. Thank you.
That's better.
To our Californian listeners.
Don't ask for an accent from me because it's not going to happen. what thank you like to say nice big thank you to our Country Club Florida listeners and our Port St. Lucie Florida listeners.
Woo! And I would like to say a very big thank you to our Waterlooville.
If you're trying to escape, reach out, we'll help you.
Yeah, so Waterlooville, England. We appreciate you.
Awesome.
And I'd like to shout out to our follower on Twitter who's not a random podcast account, an actual follower, at Too Frightful. We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All of you.
Much as we did the accents and stuff like that, well, I did. It was not trying to take the piss. Actually, we really, really appreciate your support, and we really hope that you 100%. Love this podcast and you share it with your mates. Now, yes, we've had so much fun researching this topic and all the other topics we've done in the last couple of weeks, but we really want to hear from you guys. Reach out. We want topic suggestions. We want you to engage with us. So if you've got a topic you would like us to discuss, email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com.
Even if it's just random talking. Talk to us, people. Just talk to us.
We will talk to you.
Yeah.
We want you. Yeah.
To just random talk to us. Random comments, people. We love them.
We love it. To everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our rubbish. And we hope that you found it entertaining and that you're not using any of the facts, not that there was any facts discussed in this topic, in this recording to make important decisions in your lives. Although you should definitely watch every single one of the movies that we spoke about today.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. That will all be featured on the blog.
Yeah. All right, people, thank you so much. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.